welcome everybody here, members of council, people in the county government and our public, to the administrative slash finance committee meeting of November 8th, 2011. And we have a pretty good agenda today, so we want to move through and hopefully cover everything thoroughly. With that, I'd like to recognize we have Councilman Smiley here, Councilman Sheldon, Councilman Bell, Councilman Street, Councilman Hollins, Councilman Weiner, Councilwoman Diller. And with that, recognizing who's here at the table, I'd like to have a motion on the minutes.
Motion to approve.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those against? I'd like to also recognize that Councilman Retta has joined us. With that, we're going to move to nothing on the consent calendar. We are moving to the resolutions for consideration tonight. Resolution 11-173. Mr. Smiley and I have agreed that I will handle the first two. Approving a refund of taxes paid in error. And with that, I'm going to draw a lifeline for our CFO.
Ed Nowicki, Finance Office.
Before you go, Councilwoman Kilpatrick has joined us at the table as well.
Okay, these are two tax refunds.
One second. I'd like to recognize our council president, Tom Kovac, has also joined us. Thank you.
Okay, these are two tax refunds, one the Star Building, one the Court of Objects. The Star Building, the $114,000 one, Star Building paid their taxes while they were going through the Wilton Tax Incentive Program that the county follows. Once that was approved, they had said they had went ahead and paid their taxes, so we are now refunding their money as they were approved as part of the Wilton Tax Incentive Program that the county follows, that the city has. And the other payment, the $45,000 payment, that was a duplicate payment. They had did some refinancing. It was paid by the attorney and also by the company. So we returned their money also. That's a duplicate tax payment.
Just if I could go into the Star Building, that tax abatement program is in the city of Wilmington.
Correct.
And because we provide paramedic services and
county, many years ago, county decided to follow that same tax abatement program that the city has.
Okay.
So we do follow that same program. These taxes are being returned, are all school taxes.
Okay.
Just for mention, us following that program, the county has abated in 2 years, $31,000 of county taxes foregone in order for this property to receive the program.
And this program goes to the 80s?
It's like a 10-year program. You start with 100% deduction, then it goes 90% to 80%, 70%. And this was, like you said, something that started back in the 80s, and the county followed that same program that the city had.
And that was to incentivize investment in the city of Wilmington.
Correct, exactly.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions for members of council on this particular resolution? Any questions from the public on the resolution 173, excuse me, it's ordinance 173, 11-173. Moving on to the next, ordinance 11-174, approving the refund of sewer services charges paid in error. And we do this periodically, correcting the account for overpayment of sewer. Again, Ed?
Yeah, Ed Mellick from the Finance Office again. Again, Colonial was paying on a water account that wasn't their account, and they had to go to their accountant. When they hired a new accountant, they came in and reviewed all their bills and found out that they were getting charged for a water account that they did not belong to them. And the county had been billing them based on that water account. And once we proved that it's not their water account, we're refunding their sewer payments for the past 3 years.
Okay, and this reflects a overpayment of $13,975.59. This is to the Colonial School District?
No, this is Colonial Construction Company.
Oh, Colonial Construction Company.
They should not have been billed for sewer based on the water account. This was not their water account. We rely on a water company to do our sewer billing. If we get inaccurate data from a water company, we can't prove that. So it's up to the owner to prove that, you know, it's not their water account. They did that.
Okay, thank you very much. Moving right along. Ordinance number,
Mr. Chair.
Oh, these are resolutions. Yes.
Just a quick question. Do we track? Quick question.
Yes. Councilman Street and Council President Kovac.
I just want to know if it wasn't their account, did we
determine whose account it was and do the billing accordingly?
Good question.
I don't have that information with me, but I can find that out when we get back to you. There were somebody else ended up being charged. So there was probably a duplicate billing going on.
Thank you.
And just let the record reflect these are resolutions we are considering. Council President Kovac, yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Councilman Street asked my exact question. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Resolution 11-175. Councilwoman Kilpatrick and Councilman Retta. I don't know whose pleasure this would be.
I guess it's mine. Thank you.
Okay.
These are bonds that came over from the 2010 stimulus. They are conduit bonds allowing people within rural Newcastle County to apply for energy generation funding. And according to the rules associated with them, we need to set up what that those boundaries within that area for application could be, and that's what this does.
Any questions from members of council? I mean, I have a comment. Seems to be a very creative project or creative way of financing. So these are conduit. This would provide for conduit bonds.
Correct.
For energy conservation. And the conduit bonds, just for the record, do not count against the county's indebtedness. We are in no way responsible for those payments on that bond. I mean, Ed Miller, what did you want to comment?
That's correct. I'm going to Carl with one of the Carl program. Carl, let's speak about it.
Carl Kalbacher, Executive Office, Economic Development. This is, as Councilwoman Kilpatrick referenced, stimulus funding. It's formula-based. We have a $5 million allocation, of which $5,400,000, of which 30% can be used for as private activity bonds for the private sector, as tax credit bonds. And so one of the things that we needed to do was define rural area, because the stimulus bill did not define that term. We took it upon ourselves to identify all the farmland that had an acreage of 5 acres or more, and put a 1 mile radius around it, and found, like we had done with the economic development bonds that we did before, that there were these little infill areas that we needed to fill in. So essentially our goal was to create as much of a rural geography as possible to give maximum opportunity for folks to avail themselves of these below market rate financing vehicles.
Well, that's some great work, and I hope that we have folks taking these up and utilizing this, you know, way to invest and create energy, I guess, energy projects, energy efficiency projects in rural areas.
Yes.
Councilman Smiley.
Yeah, it's in the document. I just want to place on a recorded record, in case someone decides to get it, that by participating in this program and offering the process, we anticipate receiving $9,000 in financing fees and the applicable application fees into the county coffers. So we will make money on this.
That's always the one wonderful thing about a conduit bond. Yep. We get to collect some fees for that as well. What do you imagine will, I'm going to go to Councilman Bell shortly, what kind of projects do you envision would take advantage of these kind of bonds? Maybe that's the best way.
Well, Councilman, I would suggest probably solar, but it could be geothermal. It could be anything that creates energy or conserves energy.
Okay. Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Question directed to Carl. When we say designated rural areas and you have identified those areas, is there a map that actually shows what those areas are for each one of the districts?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Okay.
It doesn't show the districts, Councilman, but
no, that's fine.
It covers all of yours, I think.
Yep.
We tried our best to cover as much as we could.
And I would imagine windmills would also probably fall into that category.
Might be a land use issue.
Yeah. Could be.
One way or another.
Okay.
Any other questions from members of council about Resolution 11-175? Any questions, comments from members of the public on this resolution? Okay, moving up to the next resolution, 11-176, authorizing county executive to execute two amendments to the agreements between Newcastle County and the Police Athletic League of Delaware, listing Councilman Norman Kilpatrick and Councilman Street. Who would like to speak to the issue? Councilman Street.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. After extensive discussion and following directive of council, the administration has negotiated an agreement with the Powell Center that they are prepared to place before us for our consideration tonight. And Mr. Henry, representing the administration, is prepared to make a presentation on the specifics of the agreement as well as answer some of your questions. So I'm going to get okay with you, Mr. Henry. Let him bring his remarks as we'd like to see.
Please identify yourself for the record, sir.
Marcus Henry, General Manager of the Department of Community Services. Back on April 12th of this year, I presented a PowerPoint presentation to council regarding the Powell Center. During that presentation, I made numerous references to the benefits of the county's long relationship with Powell. At that time, many of you expressed your support for this partnership. In fact, Newcastle County has been in partnership with the Police Athletic League of Delaware for almost 20 years. I want to reinforce the need to continue this partnership. Newcastle County remains committed to the Powell mission of serving children 8 through 18 through passive and active programs. Newcastle County supports Powell with cash payments, staffing, and maintenance. In keeping with Newcastle County's core mission, my department analyzed the cost of comparable multi-purpose facilities, especially gymnasium space at peak times, the cost of utilities at Powell centers, and any cost to relocate services out of these Powell centers. Based on that analysis and the demand for this type of space versus other available city space, Powell remains the best and most cost-efficient answer for Newcastle County's programs and services. The Powell facilities provide a full range of recreational and cultural programs that are accessible and affordable to all county residents. In an effort to continue this valuable partnership, Newcastle County and Powell have negotiated in good faith over the last 8 or 9 months and developed amendments that both parties can support. During this process, we were able to address many of our short-term goals, such as the commitment to the stabilization of operations, the review and restructuring of a lease agreement that is fair and commensurate with these services, to assure that utilities be paid in a timely manner, to maximize rental times in all the gyms to generate additional revenues for Powell, to also ensure the county auditor will have full access with reasonable notice given, and to be committed to continuing to provide current programs and services at these levels. I would like to specifically address a couple of the subjects that were included in these lease negotiations. One, the retroactive adjustment utilizing consumer price index. The county has a number of sites under lease from my department, such as Ellesmere, Apoquimini, and other libraries that have inflation clauses contained within the lease. The Powell leases have no such provision. Therefore, consistent with standard practices and in fairness to Powell, the Powell lease amounts were calculated retroactively to reflect the cost of inflation for these periods. And this total adjustment for those periods include, for both centers, a total of $53,520. As I'm sure council is also aware, Newcastle County reduced the Powell lease amount by 4% for 4 years, effective July 1, 2007 through June 30, 2011. In retrospect, it was determined that this was not an appropriate decrease. The recalculated lease without the 4% reduction results in an amount due retroactively of $44,480. Lastly, for the period of July 1, 2011 until the end of this year, Newcastle County is responsible for the 2% inflation amount of $5,556. A combination of these amounts reflects a total of $103,556 payable to Powell in fiscal year 12. Two, utility costs. The utility costs for both Powell centers have been reviewed, and it is agreed that the utility costs moving forward will be paid by Newcastle County, and those payments will be applied towards these lease payments. This will assure that utility payments are paid in a timely fashion. Any utility costs incurred prior to the execution of these new agreements will be the responsibility of Powell. It is clear it is in the best interest of both parties to assure the most efficient use of all utilities. All monies not applied to the utility obligation will be returned to Powell for their operations. Moving forward, it is our hope that over the next 24 months, which will commence after Council approves this ordinance under consideration, my department will continue to work with Powell to address other ongoing issues. Council will be updated regularly on our progress. It is also expected that performance measures for Powell will be determined and evaluated mutually by the Board of Powell and representatives of Newcastle County. I expect to report back to you, County Council, no less than on a quarterly basis moving forward. We are committed to maximizing the use of both facilities for the benefit of all Powell children and county residents, and in the long term to keep Powell viable. We will continue to work together to serve those in need and provide safe spaces for our residential recreation. I believe these amendments are fair and equitable. In summary, the amendments include our period for 24 months. As it relates to Hope Castle, Powell will assume operations of racquetball courts, the weight room, and certain drop-in gym times. For Garfield, Powell will assume the operations of the weight room. Powell agrees to operate these areas at a minimum for at least the same number of hours per week as they are presently operated by the county. If Powell is unable to meet these obligations, the department has the option to resume operations in these shared areas. The county shall also make payments directly to Delmarva for electric and gas usage. My department and Powell will meet this month to discuss full transition and will have regularly scheduled meetings to be held with all staff to discuss performance and scheduling moving forward. My department will also work with Powell to address any ongoing concerns from the public during this process. All funding required for these amendments is currently available in the department's operating budget. The net revenue also from DCS sports programs will be shared with Powell to assist in the Powell's operations. And Powell has committed to raising additional revenues to support itself. Finally, I would like to emphasize the importance of a thorough and in-depth approach to this process. The proposed agreement between Newcastle County and Powell has been a subject to a lengthy review and discussion. I have been committed to this transparency throughout this process. I assure you, as the process moves forward, Council will be updated, as I've said, on a quarterly basis. Thank you.
Okay. With that, any questions, comments by members of council on the resolution 11-176? Yes, Councilwoman Dillard.
I'm very uncomfortable moving forward with this. I really think that as council members, I really do need more information about where Powell is going in terms of their own fundraising. All of you should have in your mailboxes a letter I received from Sonia Sloan, who has extensive experience in fundraising and has expressed great concern about the way Powell has gone about fundraising. I personally think we could use more time to review this. I really hope that the sponsors are open to the option of tabling this until we can sit down, certainly with Marcus, and have further discussion.
Okay. Councilman Sheldon.
Mr. Chair, there is a couple of people from Powell that I was going to ask them a particular question, and I guess now's a better time than ever, taking this from President Kovac, who always says, what's your plan forward? And I know you two gentlemen are behind, maybe three, I don't know who's back there. If you would stand up, state your name, and I think give your plan forward something about.
My name is Michael
okay.
Connelly.
Excuse me, you need to identify yourself for the record. We tape this and we make it available to the public on request. So please speak clearly and state your name for the record.
Yes. My name is Michael Connelly. I am a lifelong resident of Newcastle County. I've served on the board since 2006. I've been involved in youth programs for quite some time. I've been on the youth board for Catholic Youth Ministry for years. I'm a retired state trooper and very committed to the police athletically. A lot of your concerns, I think, are valid. We did not meet regularly as a board. We recognize that now. We have in place, we have a board meeting to take place next week. Some of the plans that were presented years ago that were not followed through on, we intend with the new board to push through with those. We realize that if you look at our financial sheet right now, it looks like county government is our primary funder. That really shouldn't be. We need to do more to generate funds. There are a couple of things that we're going to do. One thing, we're a police athletic league, and if you hear the word police athletic league, most people think of Philadelphia. We had thought years ago, let's go to Philadelphia, let's tell them, let's give them the demographics of what we have here, let's compare programs that they have there, see if we can match them here, let's talk a little bit about their funding there, their independent funding, their grants, and you know how they solicit funding from citizens. There's a LaSalle extension program, pardon me if I missed that. I know it's LaSalle, I think it's extension program, that deals with nonprofit organizations. When I was asked to look into development back in 2008, that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to go to LaSalle, have LaSalle come down, look at what we have, make recommendations for board changes, make recommendations for different structures, and things of that nature. And that kind of got stalled a little bit. I assure you now that as part of the board, the executive board got together and asked me to be the interim chair for PAL. Till the board gets together, and then the board can make their decision if we've got to put a search committee together to find a chair or if they want me to continue forward. But I can tell you that what we're looking to do, fundraising, no question. We're looking to change the idea of how we generate funds. We want to add some things. We want to look at things where we involve the community so we can get the community in to see what programs we have. We have to do that. The other thing that we have to do is we have to follow our bylaws. We did not meet regularly. That was something that was brought up before. We wanted to meet regularly. We are going to meet regularly now. We're going to solicit new board members, and you here, as well as everybody else that's involved in boards, you need people with influence and affluence. Well, that's nice, people with influence and affluence, but they have to have a role on the board, and we have to have a game plan where their role matches our game plan. That's our path forward right now, and it's going to take some time to get that program in place. In a nutshell, what I've said to my colleagues on the board, we've got some wonderful, wonderful things going toward taking place with the kids. We've got some wonderful mentors with the kids there, and we're doing great things with them. It's the adults that were a little bit dysfunctional, let's say, and it's more lack of organization than anything else. I can assure you I've been involved with these type of run programs much smaller than this. We are going to do our level best that when we get back 24 months from now and you see the progress we have, you're going to see a great change in what's going on in PAL. And we ask for your indulgence to let us put that together.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate that statement. The other members of the PAL board here,
yes,
in attendance?
My name's Ed Pankowski. Mike Connolly said just about what I would say. I've been on the PAL board since 1988. I've seen several executive directors come and go. I've been the secretary since 2008. What Mike said, we have a meeting next Wednesday in which we're going to rejuvenate the board. We've got probably five or six nominations for new board members. I was involved years ago when we built the Hocessa facility. There was a major fundraising drive that we raised a lot of money, and Ms. Sloan was part of that. I'm a neutral force. I don't have any ties with the county or police or anything. I've been on the board for quite a while, and I've been harping on the board. We've got to meet regularly. We've got to get new people involved. People haven't showed up for meetings in 2 years, we have to release them from their obligations. And there used to be a day where everybody wrote a check to be on the board of directors. You wrote a check for $2,000 to serve on the board. That's gone by the wayside. I'm the only one who does it, I think. But In any event, we're rejuvenating ourselves starting next week. This problem's been sticking around, as Mark has said, for quite a while. There's been two audits, and I was surprised that there was a little bit of lack of cooperation between our board chairman and the auditing situation. So we're going to meet regularly. We've got new blood coming aboard. We raised money before, and I think you can have faith we're going to do it again. And the facilities are fantastic, and we hope you would trust in us to get our fundraising house in order, which is basically the only problem. So I'm glad to be here today, and thank you for your attention.
Well, I really like the idea of board members committing personal funds to the cause they believe in, and I applaud your, you know, philanthropy in that regard. I personally serve on a board, and I personally contribute, so I understand the point you're making there.
That's an old board rule that hadn't been enforced. Mm-hmm. So we're going to start enforcing that or whatever.
Yes, sir.
I'm the newest blood to the board. My name is David Grimaldi. I was asked to join. I am managing director at MinMetals Incorporated. We own the Holiday Inn Select Hotel on Neiman's Road. I joined 3 months ago as the finance chair. And many of the issues that were brought up in the auditor report, we've uncovered. We've addressed every single one without exception, has either been dealt with already or will be dealt with on our next meeting, and if you'd like, I can share our agenda with you. And if I could just read off some of the things that we will be voting on. We're going to have a document retention policy, which was one of the things that came up, which we didn't have. We're going to have a policy on nepotism, whistleblower, confidentiality, financial control policy, conflict of interest. We're going to address every single thing that was in that order report, and everything will be fixed. I think the PAL organization will be a much different place within the next 12 to 24 months.
Well, I appreciate you stepping up as a fresh face and injecting some professionalism into this, and I really am very glad to see all these people who I personally am not that familiar with be here today to express your desire to improve the situation and to strike a new relationship with Newcastle County. That's very exciting to me, personally speaking. Other comments? Yes, Councilman Smiley.
I just, on a little lighter note, I appreciate hearing your comments, and I feel like I need to spend a night at the Holiday Inn Express. Great job. I guess it does work. I never gave validity to the commercial until you spoke. So.
Let me give my commercial. We're renovating. It's going to be a Crown Plaza in the next 2 months.
All right. Yes, Councilman Sheldon.
A different note. General Manager Henry, I asked this, I think, 6 months ago about Delmarva, the discount with the county. Was anything talked about that? Are we one of the utilities part that we could partner and help with the PAL centers? Especially if we're going to, well, we're not paying the bill, but I mean, at the end of the day, your rent goes to that.
Yeah. Marcus Henry again, General Manager of Community Services. We did look into that, Councilman. Unfortunately, the way rates are right now, there wasn't real cost savings if, in fact, we were able to get them under the county contract, just the way rates are currently, unfortunately. So there wasn't true savings. That was
another one of my ideas.
Good idea.
Maybe next year.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Yes, Councilman Hollins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First, let me congratulate him and commend the general manager for the fine job that he's done in putting this all together. We did task him 8 months ago, 9 months ago, and he spent an enormous amount of time putting this together. So I think he did a really good job. I want to thank the members of PAL for their cooperation in helping this document to get to us today. I also received the notice that referred to by Councilwoman Diller, and also spoke with Sonia Sloan on Saturday, someone that I've known for a number of years, as well as her husband. But the issue of the audit was one that sort of caught me somewhat off guard, because the fact of the matter is the audit was only placed in council members' mailboxes on sometime, I guess, late Friday, so most council members didn't really read the audit, including myself. But however, I'd gotten a call from the press on an audit that I think most councilmen had never even had the opportunity to read, so I was pretty much caught off guard. And I have reason to believe that the audit was provided to the press by a member of this body. Obviously, I can't prove that, but I just thought it was very interesting to have questions from the press almost immediately before most councilmen never had an opportunity to even read the audit to prepare for it. But as I explained to Sonia Sloan, as I'm saying to council today, the audit is not what is being discussed here. What's being discussed here really is the contract that the general manager has worked with PAL to bring back to us as we have requested. And I would hope that our conversation would be about this particular process. And even though there are questions, I think the issue that came forward from Sonia Sloan is a legitimate issue. But it does not rise to the point where I believe that this council was sat here and jeopardized the opportunity for these at-risk youths because of some questions that someone may have about the present members of the board. I think this is all about going forward. I agree with the general manager. We have the best and most cost-effective program now with PAL. PAL has made some changes. They're planning to make other changes that we've heard to today. And unless someone has a better plan, unless someone has a better relationship, unless someone can prove to council that there is a better opportunity, I see no reason to hold this up for any reason other than the fact that someone doesn't like somebody else. And I think that the future of these kids that are being served in Garfield Park is much more important than the politics of somebody sitting around this table or someone who used to sit around this table. And I suggest that we move forward and do what's right by the constituents that we serve and take advantage of this opportunity.
Okay. Councilman Smiley.
I agree with Councilman Hollins. I just want to make note, and I don't think there's anybody sitting at this table, if you be honest upon reflection, won't recognize that the fiscal problems with PAL, part of them, was when the past administration allowed, in violation, in my opinion, not being an attorney, but in violation of the contract, allowed the payments for the use of time to not only be reduced, but to take away time that PAL could have leased, rent it with reduced county funds, and provide free programs, which reduced the revenue for them. And for me, and I've been vocal about this for at least the last 4 years, very obvious to me that certain members of the past administration, their goal was to starve PAL into submission so that they could take control of the buildings. I'm glad to see that we sit here today. That has not happened. I'm glad to see that those on the board have presented a reasonable path forward so that they can maintain it. I understand what the contracts say if they default, but what I didn't see in those contracts was that the county government had an obligation to make sure they defaulted. And on behalf of myself, I apologize not only to the members of the PAL board, but to the children who've been under this cloud for the last year, 8 months, or whatever, because the problem was members of the PAL board thought they were going to enter into a fair and reasonable bargaining process to reach an agreement, and that never happened till Mr. Henry came on board with the current county executive. That's my feelings on the whole nasty mess.
Okay. Other people are weighing in, stimulated by your comments. Councilman Bell and then Councilman Street.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have absolutely no problem with this this particular piece of legislation, resolution. I would echo the comments that have been made by Councilman Hollins and Councilman Smiley in reference to a new day, a new era. We lived where there was not a spirit of cooperation over a several year period, and it's certainly refreshing and should be refreshing to this county government to have a community services manager that is a hands-on, take charge, and empowers folks within community services to do their job. But he is truly a manager, and he's doing an excellent job for us, and I think that you know, this particular contractual changes here is a reflection of the job that he's doing and our administration in trying over the next couple years to move forward and resolve some of the questions that's come up. I mentioned, and it was mentioned today by Marcus, as far as the Petnera building, Appaquinimic Lease Library, they had an inflationary clause. They were getting increases every year. And yet, for whatever reason, the past leadership chose not to put any type of inflationary, even though the economics of this country and this county were going down the tubes. But yet we did it for the Appaquinimic, for the Petnera project down there. I think clearly when you look at the leadership, the training, the mentoring, the after-school programs, that many of our youth would not be able to take advantage of and enjoy or participate without PAL, this is the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do now. It's been recommended, and I have faith in it. I have faith in our PAL board. I heard the one comment made, and I think graciously that, you know, we'll correct everything. Okay, well, everything isn't wrong with PAL. And, you know, when you look back from when PAL was created, organized, created, and implemented in this county by a young colonel of the county police department who took the initiative to lead it, and then it moved forward into something that's a tremendous asset to our community. It is, in essence, the core of our community and its youth. I don't think that everything's broke or everything's wrong with that board or the things they've done. And I think that together, between the county government and the Police Athletic League, we can turn around and make things better, working in conjunction with one another. And once again, I come back to the fact that I think we've got the right manager at the right time and the right place to oversee that. So I don't have a problem, with voting on this resolution tonight.
Thank you. Councilman Street.
I don't want to be perceived as being thin-skinned. I think that we as public officials should be, as we are on this council, subject to the highest public scrutiny. By the same token, one of the PALs is in my district, and I'm one of the sponsors on the legislation. And for somebody to have the unmitigated gall to have a discussion with the administration about tabling legislation with my name on it without having the courtesy to pick up the phone and ask me, if that's thin skin, I don't know why legislation under my sponsorship should be any different than legislation under anybody else's sponsorship. And as council person, I would never go to administration and say this needs to be tabled without at least first going to the sponsoring council person and saying, this is what I think. Second, whoever this Ms. Sloan is, she may be a fine person, she may know about nonprofits, but she called y'all. She ain't called me. So my input about legislation affecting children that I represent, in my opinion, was of no moment to her. So her opinion in the instant case is of no moment to me. Now, I'm sure there's going to be lengthy discussion about this tonight, but I have never been the type of person to throw a stone and hide my hand. If I throw a stone, I hold my hand up proudly, and I want you to know I threw it. And I have fully intended for it to do its designated damage. What I can't stand is for a person to throw a stone and hide their hand. Now, evidently, the county auditor has taken it upon himself to think that he works for a council person and works in conjunction with a council person to send information to the press, to make inferences and innuendo in his report adversely affecting the children that I want to represent. And now, where is he? Okay, so if I'm thin-skinned because I'm not happy about that, then call me thin-skinned. And I am not willing to put this legislation on the table. These children have been put on hold long enough. And we have an April article, and now the article over the weekend, which significantly impacts the board's ability to operate and raise funds. When you get negative publicity, the likelihood of people giving you contribution is significantly diminished. And so what we've done has put this organization in a situation where we have not been at all helpful, and I believe harmful.
fact of the matter is, the so-called audit is just that. It's a so-called audit. There isn't a single financial statement in it. So therefore, I have to wonder whether or not it meets generally accepted accounting principles. Second, to my knowledge, our auditor has no specific training or certification in nonprofit management. Therefore, I have to look upon the so-called audit as something brought forward by a layperson, and it's his or her opinion, and has absolutely nothing to do with his professionalism and his certification as an auditor. For that reason alone, I don't think it should be considered. Obviously, we're going to have to discuss it. And finally, for right now, it's in my district, and I'm sick and tired. I don't bother anybody else's district, okay? I haven't asked anybody to table something for seniors. I haven't asked anybody to table something for library. And my children are not going to be, continue to be disenfranchised by folks who have their own disdain for whoever created PAL, their own their personal disdain for the previous administration and everybody affiliated with it, and attack volunteer board members in the press and say that they're incompetent political cronies. That's the thanks that we give to people who are volunteering their time and talent to help people's children. The children that, at least in my area, have been abandoned. And been abandoned, and I say that because, on the one hand, we scream and holler what a great decision Brown Board versus Board was, and we celebrate it and know full well that in the new millennium, we've resegregated under so-called neighborhood schools. And those kids in that area serving PAL, they never get to interact with white children until they go to high school, not for the existence of the PAL Center. So I look upon those who are frowning upon this negotiated agreement as anti-child, anti-police, and if they prevail, God bless them, okay? But I will tout them as such going forward. And to be continued, I am certain.
Yes, okay. Can't deny the eloquence of that statement. Okay. Council President Kovac and then Councilwoman Dillon.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. This problem came up when I was new to the council, and I want to make sure I didn't step in things like I stepped in the first time I got involved here. And I do appreciate the general managers looking into this and the PAL board and the three men that we had today in the PAL board and their commitment to change. And I think it's quite frankly a shame, looking at the history, I'm not going to point fingers, it's a shame we've gotten to this point. It's a shame that clearly the rent was, in a way not fair at all to what would have been any other normal operating organization, not fair to a nonprofit organization to not include rent escalators. So, to increase the rent to where it should have been makes a lot of sense to me. I mean, that seems fair. My concern lies with the payments that are going to be made and the timing of those payments. Not because, again, it's not fair, but because there has been some past issues with the ability to be fundraising. And I talked to the general manager about this, and it just gives me a little bit of discomfort that there aren't specific performance measures in here that would allow the county to step in a little bit more and work with the board and have milestones that could be met, and then these payments could be made. And that's my comment. I'm not attacking the reaching a fair solution and paying what should have been paid before, but to pay what's nearly $100,000 to an entity that has historically recently undergone some tough financial times, it brings me significant discomfort to do that without performance measures enforceable by the county.
Councilwoman Diller.
Yes. Mr. Street, just a note that I believe the last time this came before council, it was under the sponsorship of Mr. Hollins and then co-chair Cartier. I was really quite shocked that this came under your sponsorship and Ms. Kilpatrick's sponsorship. I believe that Ms. Sloan contacted me as co-chair of community services. So I don't think there's anything, I think this is frankly a mistake to have come through in this manner. And I think that, you know, it is quite unusual for community services legislation to come through with the names of the council members in whose district a particular facility resides. Usually it comes through with community services, the co-chairs. So I'm just interested that this happened. I'm not comfortable with it, but I think as the co-chair of community services, I do have the right to ask questions about this. And I am concerned about this. I am concerned because, quite honestly, at this point, I laud the PAL board for proposing these changes, but we haven't seen anything yet. And I really have to tell you that in my district, this stuff creates issues. My phone started ringing off the hook at 8:30 on Saturday morning because people were upset about it. It continued Sunday through coffee hour at church. And let me tell you, when people in the 5th District get upset with me, they usually leave me alone when I'm worshiping, but not this issue. I heard about it at coffee hour. So I can tell you, this is not something that just one person is upset about. This is something that I have heard from numerous people about, and I appreciate your concerns, but those are mine.
Okay, Councilman Retta, then Smiley, and then Kilpatrick.
Thank you. One thing that bothers me about this is that we keep talking about the contract, and we tabled it, but we can't keep tabling the children that are involved. And I hate to say this, because this is the nucleus of PAL, the children, and that's what the program started for. Now there's different programs that the adults are involved in, but they're different. They're completely different. The whole thing of this is the children. And by us keep playing around with this and bringing it back and forth and back and forth, it is ridiculous to me. The contract between PAL and the administration, or community service, however you want to put it, they settled on that. And now we want to tear it apart again? That doesn't make sense to me. It's completely ridiculous, I think. And the other thing, Councilwoman, all due respect, there's things come across here as co-chair of land use that different people on this council sponsored in land use committees or land use items, and it never comes before the co-chairs, and we don't even ask for it, because if people want to sponsor it, that's up to them. We don't say anything about that. It's brought up, it's voted on, and we don't care. We could care less. The two PALs, the way I look at it, is in Councilwoman Kilpatrick's district and Councilman Street's district, and I think that's one of the reasons why they're sponsoring it. And that's the way it should be. Whoever's district is it in, they should be a sponsor. Thank you.
Councilman Smiley.
Yeah, I just want to say, number one, you're always going to get phone calls when inaccurate or incomplete information is provided to the press and then makes it to the paper. There were a lot of things. Apparently, that document was provided to the press in its entirety. Unfortunately, that document was produced quite some time ago, and in that time frame, this council sat here in numerous committee meetings and got answers to those questions that were now provided to the press as if they were fresh, brand new, just off the buffet. That will definitely provoke some comments. As for sponsorship, I just think Councilman Retta had legislation relative to Kirkwood Library. John brought Claymont. I brought the Bear. So this is nothing new, and this is nothing different. But by the way,
if an individual can find out who co-chairs a committee, they sure could have went online and found out who was sponsoring the legislation. That's it.
Councilmember Kilpatrick.
Thank you. Just have a couple of comments. I think at this point, when President Kovac said that this came up when he was first on council, which means it was 8-9 months ago, in reality, this has been going on for years. I know that former President Clark had asked for the study that the now general manager has just completed 3 years ago. He did not get it. One of the reasons we are where we are, nothing was able to move forward until there were facts that you could justify or not justify what was going on in payments, etc. We knew that it was a very loosely written agreement. No one denies that. We knew that it had to be tightened up. You can't just sit down arbitrarily and tighten something up if you don't have the facts to do it. Mr. Henry has spent a long, long time coming up with very, very inclusive numbers, broken down to the point of what it costs for each person in each program. That's something that if this council had it 3 years ago, they would be far beyond where they are right now, and we wouldn't be arguing about this. We would be hearing about we're into the 24 months and this is what we've done. So we sort of became our own worst enemy in not requiring that this was done and letting it just float along. If this didn't pass tonight, what are we going to do? Go on as we've been with the payments that are going to PAL? At this point, they now are redividing the use of the building, redividing the time that each one gets within that building, understanding that PAL probably cannot go forward without an agreement. Does that mean that we fold up and we go home? It costs a lot of money to mothball buildings. We said that 8 months ago. We discussed that. It costs money to maintain mothballed buildings. And then we've got programs that we've held with COPS. This is a COPS and kids program. COPS are Newcastle County COPS. We are Newcastle County. This is our program. This is not the American Heart Association or the Cancer Association. This is COPS and kids. This is Newcastle County. The audit, since this door was opened, this was an old audit. We saw this audit. Well, we heard of this audit. We discussed this audit in committee, what, 6-8 months ago? I find it unconscionable that somebody would release this audit at this time, send it over to the press at this time without any cover letter or addendum to it to say, this is the original audit, and from this audit, this is what we have done, and this is our path forward. Thank you.
Okay, Councilman Sheldon. Everybody's being heard from here tonight.
Yeah. These are like three questions, but they're like yes and no's. We don't have to go past 15 okay. seconds. This is just about, and I'm going to direct this to the general manager, this is about prior rent. This is not a grant. Is this correct? The money is
for rent.
It's rent. It's not a grant. It's tax. It's our money, the county, that should have paid before. It's not a taxpayer bailout.
That's correct.
Okay, thank you. That's number one. The other one is, I don't know if everybody heard, since just Saturday's meeting, we have a new acting chair. I mean, so if the newspaper called the old chair, it's gone. So the fast moving of this, the correct directives is, I'm correct in this, right? Yes, okay. I mean, I got apologies. I mean, from Saturday till Tuesday at 1:30 when it started, you've changed like three things already to put us on a path forward. I mean, I went to a conference and it was amazing. Lou Holtz spoke about the win factor. You know, what's important now? That last year, that 2 years ago, that 2002. It's what it's doing now. I think you've laid out a plan and you're going to get back to us. So I really like that. And the other thing about the county still involved, I'm still back, you know, I wrote an op-ed piece in 2009 in May for us to start backing away and getting the PAL Center, the center, to make money off, and I'm glad to say about the weight machines and so forth, but the knitting classes that we pay people, you know, we pay with our salaries, people to go over there before people knitting and so forth. We have to get out of that stuff. So I think, you know, we have to get out. It's money. It's money that they can use on different stuff, and it doesn't have to be knitting. It can be other productive stuff. So those are some of the things, because, you know, we've heard this time and time again, how big government, you know, takes over the social programs of the Catholic Charities, United Way, the Y's, can do it better than government. This is a perfect example with the PAL, if they can be able to do that. I mean, this is the very last thing I would say, and I'm done, is besides the religious component of the CYO, I think that's PAL's going. I mean, I was over there yesterday. I wanted to know before we voted, and I saw the kids over there taking the exams. So, like I said, besides the religious component, it looks like a CYO to me. And that's a good thing. And I know you said you were involved in that, and I just happened to be there, you know. Didn't know you were going to say that. I wrote this down at 1:30. So I thank you for taking over, and a new board, that takes away that. You know, you're saying you're getting, I thought you said five. I don't know if he's, or if that's five people who may address it. So anyway, I want to thank you for putting your plan forward. Now it's up to us to digest it, I guess.
Councilman Hollins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First of all, back to Councilman Sheldon's point, the money is already in the budget. This is not new money that we're coming up with, we're going to find or whatever. We all voted on the budget. The money is there. I think it's our responsibility when we get these calls from our constituency is to educate them on our process, what is happening. This is not new money. This is something that happened during our budgetary process. The other thing I think is that just simply because someone disagrees with what they may read in the paper and we don't tell them any different, and we just do a knee-jerk reaction, to me, is irresponsible. I think part of being a councilman is to educate people, explain to them why you're doing what you're doing, and not necessarily go off because they're not educated and voting in a different way or changing your mind. I just think there has to be some principle here at the end of the day, and these principles are not necessarily gained by majority vote. I think we have to stand for something here, and I think this is the right thing to do, and to have anyone, anywhere they may live, to suggest that having a PAL program in Newcastle County, if they find it offensive, then God bless them. I cannot accept anyone in my district who seems that, who has the opinion that is wasting money to support a PAL center for kids to kick them, to remove them from an at-risk position, and people have an issue with that. And as a council person, then I'm going to agree with that, that we have no business providing a quality of life for at-risk people in this county. I can never put myself there. And if it means that someone's going to vote against me, then God bless you. I mean, there's no way that you're going to satisfy every single person that calls you in your capacity as a council person. So they have a right to their opinion, and you should have a right to yours to stand every now and then for what is right.
Councilman Smiley.
In closing, because I think we're wrapping down, I just want to make an observation, and that is, I'm more than a little bit concerned that for years, and I mean years, of my time on this council, I have been asking for reports of the outcome of the auditor's agendas. For reports of when you've audited internally, when you audited the overtime, when you audited the cars. For years, I've gotten nothing. I finally went to the audit committee and they've made it a part of the requirement. But I was really troubled last week when I went to my box and I pulled out, after all these years of getting nothing, I get this professional piece. Nice big print, single-sided, professionally bound. I don't put out stuff this good for my campaign. If this isn't a press piece, I don't know what is. And I think as a council, we need to question the motives behind that expense.
Okay, Councilman Bell, Councilman Street.
Yep. You know, you sit here, you listen, you try to digest all this, and as many of us have said, at the expense of a tremendous program for children. And politically motivated, vendetta, whatever you want to call it, has no place at the expense of our children and our communities. And I look back, I heard some comment made referring back to the audit. And when we discussed this 6 or 8 months ago, we asked questions, and there was not one reference of impropriety, and we asked that, nor could they pinpoint one reference of any impropriety within that board. It was general references as to the financial and the fundraising, and we discussed the fundraising then. And so I don't know who's motivated by this, but I think it does a disservice to this government, it does a disservice to Powell, and it's got to stop. We should be working together for the common good of the community and not political motivation or personal vendettas.
Councilman Street.
Two things very briefly, Mr. Chairman. One, for those who really have questions about PAL, I would just urge that they take the time to visit the PAL. I had reason to be out there yesterday, and you know, they were really protected to the point where I walked in the side of the building, and a young lady at the door said, "Excuse me, who are you? And where are you going?" And I said, "I'm Councilman Street." She said, "Well, the adults, if you got county business, you need to go around the other side." Now, some folks might have been insulted and want to be entitled in. And I looked at her, I said, "Thank you very much for protecting these children, and you're doing a great job." The second point being, PAL is unique to PAL. Historically and traditionally, urban children, children of color, see the police, you're run. Other communities, police officers are looked at as somebody you go to when you have a problem, somebody you go to for help. PAL purposely and intentionally came about to change that so that all children will look to as police officers being their friends. And I go back all the way to the beginning of my career, and I was told, "Son, if you want to work with kids, you got to work with the police." I said, "I'm not going to do it." He said, "Oh, yes, you are. Basically, because we signed your check." I had to learn the hard way, but I benefited from it and proudly served for 25 years on the Wilmington Police Advisory Council before I ever ran for office. Right now, there were statements in the so-called audit that criticize them for how they accounted for money from the dancers and how they paid DJs. Well, from an auditor's perspective, that may have some merit to it. But don't they get credit for being among the only entities in this county who actually have dancers for kids? And they can do that, even my agency can do. I say to my kids, "I need $400 for the police before you even open the door. And unless every other community center in town is going to have one, so that I don't have 2,000 kids standing outside, I'm not having it." But it's children and police at the Powell Center. And if you want to go turn a dance out and you want to engage in mischief at a dance, even criminals are not suicidal. You're not going to go turn a dance out where you know there are police officers. So, as opposed to being critical for what they didn't do right, I think they should be given credit for what they're doing correctly. That's a major benefit. And, you know, I just can't emphasize enough how important this is to children who don't have a lot of other things that are in their favor and set up of, for, and about them. But the reason I wasn't willing to consider tabling legislation, because I really don't care. The will of council is the will of council, like everything else you have to live with. But here's the bottom line. Former administration put that in place to help children, but also to cut costs and to eliminate and reduce where police had to be. So at the end of the day, fiscally, we're going to pay. You either pay to take care of the kids now, or start getting ready to pay the police to spend more time out there and spend overtime, and hope we can get federal grants and other monies to support that. And if not, then we're going to go right back to where we started, before we started down this journey, which was a very positive journey. And for those and other reasons, I'm not going to consider table it, and I'll have to defer to the judgment and the will of council.
Okay, very good. Let the record reflect Councilman Powers has joined us, then Councilman Hollins.
Just one last comment from me, Mr. Chair. I think we really had a lot of good discussion around PAL, but I'm still very sickened by the fact that I believe someone, and I believe a council person, continues this hemorrhage of misinformation to undermine this government, to undermine PAL, and to undermine worthy causes for political gain. And it's getting very, very sickening that this continues to happen, that someone continues to put this misinformation out there to harm and to undermine intentionally very good programs, and in some cases, this government.
Okay. Councilman Street, and I think we're going to wrap it up here and go to the public.
He made me do it. He made me do it, and I just can't help it, because in this arena, when I became elected official, he's my mentor. But he wouldn't allow me, nor would I, run through here and act like he's got all the sense and I don't have any.
Okay. Any other comments from members of council? I think we've hashed this over pretty thoroughly. And with that, I want to go to members of the public who might be in attendance or want to comment. Yes, sir. You want to identify yourself for the record?
Yes, my name is Pat Seidel. I'm a lifelong resident, pretty much, of Newcastle County. I grew up in Hocassin for 19 years as a child. I moved into the city of Wilmington when I got married. Lived on 29th and Jefferson Streets for about 12 years, where I was active in the Civic Association there and had a good relationship with the former mayor, late mayor, Frawley. Now, my wife and I moved out to Westminster off Hercules Road. I'm sure everybody knows where that is. I've been there for the last 12 years or so. Currently president of the association for Westminster. I thought it'd be helpful maybe to put the face of Hocassin president, me being just one person, but knowing a lot of folks that have read. Certainly, at this point, I'm going to reject it myself. Sitting here and listening was an eye-opener. General manager guy, extremely nice guy. Great, well-educated, had a great plan moving forward. It sounds like the PAL Center has a great plan moving forward. It's a plan. It's not in writing. Their wishes, their hopes, they're not demands, and they're not concrete. I want to preface my comment by saying that. Thank you, first of all, for doing what you guys do. Appreciate it very much. My comments were written down. I was a little less educated than I am, even as of the last hour and a half that I've had a chance to listen. So some of them may be a little out of line, out of whack. I sometimes have difficulty parsing my words. I excuse that. While the PAL organization is a very respected and important piece, part of our community, my understanding is the physical organization and organizational well-being of this entity has run itself into the ground. Mr. Wasserbach is the auditor of this audit that everybody's discussing. I was hired by this council, is that not correct?
He's a council employee.
Okay. To gain a foothold on the fiscal state of repairs of PAL, or the fiscal state of affairs of PAL, as it continues to conduct business in Hocassin and Garfield Park. His report is cause for immediate concern, not only to every member of council, but in fact, every taxpayer in New Castle County. To say I'm a conservative or a liberal, a Democrat or Republican simply doesn't apply here. If you want to get political, you want to start going after individuals, I'm going to jump in that boat. Everybody that knows me personally knows I'll get two wars because I could row us to hell a lot faster. This is not about politics. The auditor's report, to the extent of the documentation afforded him, demands our attention on several issues. Issues that have transcended anyone's individual affiliation. I want to be very clear. I feel that the council will approve any further funding of PAL organization without a firm grasp of the organization's future plan in writing. This is unfortunately, in my opinion, equivalent of a bailout. It is my sincere hope and intent to ask all members of this council to table the vote until, we can do the due diligence that is required to continue throwing the people of New Castle County's money at this problem without clear and full understanding of both the current and future PAL board members. Commitment to a new course of corrective action is extremely unadvisable, unwarranted, and unacceptable. I'm going to cut in on myself because I want to make sure everybody understands. I like the PAL Center. I'm not here to use kids. This is strictly a money issue to me. What kind of example does this set for the other nonprofit organizations, such as the Hilltop or the West End House, which I know of? These folks struggle year over year. They would love to have this kind of blind funding. And I call it blind funding because there's nothing in writing. The difference between, in my opinion, the PAL organization, which is a huge, well-planned, well-thought-out, well-executed entity, when properly run, and something like the West End House, is that they, at West End and at Hilltop, have learned to survive and do with less, always. That's their lifeline, is to do with less. They understand what it is not to be properly funded and still get the job done. So I had some questions. We've all heard that it's my money now. It's my money and I want it now. Well, according to our contract with PAL, and I could be wrong, now that they're so unbelievably close, as of today or as of the time of that audit, if not technically bankrupt or so close to default, I say it's my building and I want it now. If I'm wrong, who owns the building? Is the reason for confusion a convoluted contract, or is it the ineffective leadership that may be unwilling to execute the people's business? I'm serious. I mean, what is it, folks? The people want to know. It's our money. Where do we stand with respect to the ownership? How did we evolve to a place where not only it was conceived, but actually being considered that New Castle County would feel the utility bills for PAL or any other business operating in New Castle County? I've operated a business in New Castle County for 15 years. I'll forward you my bills. Please. That is just unbelievable to me. It's an outrageous request that my tax dollars have to pay for the accounting of this, and that it's actually being considered. Now, it's their business just like I am. They have to prove their ability to at least handle their own bills. Just this concept alone is proof positive that the current board of directors, not a reflection, making such a request is incompetent, unwilling, and in fact defunding of their role as directors of this entity. Money, money, money. I like that. The current fiscal picture is horrendously out of whack. I don't think anybody disagrees. From the asset to debt liability ratio to having to beg M&T Bank for a waiver so they won't call their loan, begging Delmarva not to cut the power off, to the poor and essentially non-existent fundraising efforts, to the 100% health care funding, to unnecessary advanced insurance payments. Some of these issues have simple fixes and can improve the fiscal bottom line almost immediately. However, the sum of all these issues clearly demonstrates total failure on behalf of PAL Board of Directors to operate within the partnership formed by themselves and Newcastle County.
Mr. Seidel, you're going to go to a conclusion?
Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
We all know fundraising is a tough business, especially right now in this economy. I wanted to deviate slightly. The Alexis Tidepon High School has a marching band. We've all heard of them. They're the most televised high school band in the country. They travel to London. They travel to Rome. They travel all over. They are a student-run, led, and organized entity within the school. They sell flowers, candy, subs, pizza, car washes, runs. I think they'd sell their little brothers and sisters if they thought they could, you know, travel somewhere. I realize there are a lot bigger issues as far as fundraising is concerned. I have faith, I do, that you guys are going to find them. I hope you do. I personally have enjoyed the Hocessin PAL myself. I've been there, both on PAL business and Newcastle County business. So I want everybody to know, I am in no way advocating at this point that we dissolve our partnership with PAL with respect to either location. I am advocating, however, that prior further funding, emergency or otherwise, being approved by the council, there should be an audit performed. A full operational audit. The basis of thinking, and this is really critical, the basis of thinking must be to identify fiscal shortcomings in this management. Further, to be used as a tool to educate current and future boards how best to manage this business without further burden to the taxpayers. You know, I want to thank you all for listening. I know you'll do the right thing by the people of Newcastle County that believe in you and elected you to handle our money. And just want to make sure that you heard it straight from the mouth of a protesting person. Thank you.
Thank you very much for those comments. Thank you for being well prepared. Yes, sir.
I just want to touch on one thing. I think a lot of what you said, I appreciate it very much. I think a lot of it is being addressed. But you struck a nerve with me, and I just want to touch base with the AI DuPont Marching Band, their band, and a lot of other their entities, just for the record, because it kind of twists my stomach when I see in the paper. I agree all the publicity getting are great, how they don't get taxpayer dollars. But let me tell you, for years, they carried taxpayer dollars out of this council chamber in the form of grants. And more than just that marching band, they got taxpayer dollars, almost annual grants, several of them up there. And then they publicize in the paper they don't get taxpayer dollars. They have in the past. So just to clarify that. But I appreciate your comments. All well taken.
They are an active group outside of that as well. Thank you.
Okay. Any other comments from the public? I think we've kind of gone through the gamut on this PAL funding issue. And I don't know if there's any other comments from the public. With that, I'm going to move on to the final agenda point. There's one on the table.
Yes. Consideration of ordinances. Ordinance 11 dash, just like thanking Mr. Seidel for coming down today. Ordinance 11-099, Councilman Smiley to amend the Castle County Code Chapter 14, Finance and Taxation regarding abatement of penalties and taxes.
Okay. I hope to be able to get us back on time schedule here. This is very straightforward. I apologize. I said before I would be bringing this forward. Unfortunately, I got sidetracked for a while by a project in Bear. It took more time than I thought it would. All this ordinance does is clarify what council said some years back. We gave the finance department certain parameters around which they could abate penalties and interest, and we said outside of that, it had to come through council. All this ordinance does is add the language into the code that clarifies for the general public that if they're outside of those parameters, that they do need to go through their council member. And ironically, and this is strictly coincidence, the next thing on the agenda is exactly something that follows that process with Councilwoman Kilpatrick. So all this does is place in the ordinance what council's intention was and what the procedure is that's followed right now. It just makes it clear to those that may need to enter into that process.
Okay, any discussion from members of council on this ordinance relating to filing for abatement of penalties and taxes from the county? No discussion. Anybody from the public on that? No discussion. Next, ordinance number 11-106, authorizing the abatement of Newcastle County real property tax penalties on the property of Robert and Helen P. Sheehan, located at 216 Clover Drive. Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Basically, this was a, it has to do with penalty on taxes not being paid. The bank received the tax bill from the county in July. The end of August, the Sheehans asked about payoff information. They were told that they would receive correspondence outlining how they could pay off their mortgage. On October 6th, they received disclosure documents, and October 7th, they received an overdue tax bill. Paying off their mortgage within this time frame, understanding that the bill came in July and is due by the end of September, they had no idea, were not told that the bank did not pay the taxes before allowing them to pay off their mortgage. So after the fact, of course, here they are with as of November 1st, it will be $205.57. So we have ordinance 11-106, and then we have substitute 1, which reflects the November payoff.
Okay.
So they don't fit within the criteria, so obviously have to come through council for the abatement.
Okay. Any opinion on from county finance on this?
Yeah, I'd like to review this. Unfortunate issues where they were caught in between a payoff.
Okay. So you're in agreement with this?
Yes, I'm fine with it. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Any comments from members of council on this ordinance? Any comments from members of the public? Okay, moving on. Item J, K and L, we have none of those items that I'm aware of. Does any council member want to bring anything forward? Okay, other discussion of PAL contract revisions. Didn't we pretty cover? Okay, we're through with that topic. Okay, discussion concerning the possibility of reinstituting Newcastle County Grants Program. I'd like to weigh in as the chair, privilege of the chair, I suppose. We have a memo from our county council advisor, policy advisor. He recommended in that memo, I hope all the members of council got that we would transfer $97,500 from the contingency and make it available to the members of council on an equal basis, dividing it in 13 ways to reinstitute the council grant program. They also wrote in there the kind of stipulations and restrictions for that program, who could be a grant recipient. I'm in support of doing this. I look to the committee of the whole to comment and perhaps make a motion in that regard. Anybody who would like to make a motion or comment? Councilman Street.
Well, I agree with the reinstatement. I don't agree with the amount, nor do I agree with some of the proposed rule. And, you know, I'll make a motion to reinstate the entire $15,000 for each council member. And I don't, I think we should review these rules at a more time when we're not so much pressed for time, and I wouldn't go forward with any grant until we have come to determination on the rules. But the grant amount is concerning me, because the fact of the matter is, these nonprofit agencies who are doing work throughout the county are in dire need right now. Most agencies or everybody has nonprofits in a significant way have been hit very, very hard by the financial crisis. I mean, if people not working, contributions are automatically down. I have, you know, I sit on the Redden Foundation. We have not had a lot of success in raising money over the last year. I was a member of the Hope Commission, and that funding is almost completely diminished. And I had the same problem and challenge at the agency where I work, and so much so to the extent that my board of directors is now contemplating hiring a development director to spend full time, his or her time, to raise money. My point being, nonprofits are hurting, and we haven't had any grant funding for over a year. I think it was an error on our part as a council to just take away everything that we did and that we had available to us as individual council people, and I think the whole thing should be reinstated.
I'd like to get back and comment on that, but first I want to take care of a procedural. We have a motion on the floor to restore $15,000 per council member. Is it my understanding you would propose taking that from the contingency?
Yes.
Okay. We have a motion. Do we have a second on? I need to have a second.
Second.
We have a second on the floor. Discussion, question. Yes, sir. Councilman Sheldon.
Well, the question is we don't have that much money in their contingency fund. I mean, I'd be more than happy to, you know, to vote for this, but if you don't have the money, I just don't understand.
Can we get the math on that? We have the math on
what is.
Yes, sir.
So double.
We're allocated $200,000, or Jim Boyle, House Director, we're allocated $200,000 in our contingency fund. We have not spent any of the $200,000. My math is correct. $15,000 times 13 is $195,000.
Could I, if I could, and with the indulgence of the members, Councilman Street, what I would say is that, in principle, I agree with what your point of view is. What I would say is that we could appropriate this portion now,
come back
wait
March.
Till the final end of the fiscal year, when we, just as we did with the grant program to youth employment, check and see where we are, perhaps at the end of the fiscal year. If we haven't encumbered any funds for any reason, then perhaps we can go ahead and make the full amount available out of the contingency. But I do think we need to have some contingency funds available through the year. Yes, Councilwoman Diller.
I'd just like to make the point that if we completely empty out the contingency fund. Last year, we were able to contribute $25,000 to the summer youth employment program out of our contingency fund. If we remove that and put it in council grants, that won't be available to add to the summer youth employment program this year.
Councilman Smiley.
I just want a couple comments. One, if you move forward with the $15,000, you have to recognize that our budget is going to incur built-in increases for wages and benefits for the next fiscal year. So we will be faced with the possibility of increasing council's budget for the purposes of providing grants. This council will do as it will. I think I've made my feelings known. I will just go on a record now. There will be a form letter from my office, just so nobody thinks I don't want to partner with them or anything. My office will not be awarding grants. And since it seems to be a propensity of some people to distort what I say, just go on a record right now. I will be going not voting on any grants to come before council. So if you're going to bring a grant, you need to make sure you have at least eight, because if I'm part of the seven, I will be going not voting. I just put that out there. That's me, that's the way I feel, and I will take any repercussions that come because of my position. But I just want to share that up front and out the
open. We have a motion on the floor. We're having discussion. Council President Kovac.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. looking over this memo, I just wanted to point out that it was recommended that a resolution be drafted, so whatever action we take, it would be my opinion and hope that we would follow the recommendation and draft whatever we're going to do in the form of a resolution to make the transfer of funding more transparent to the citizens of Newcastle County. That's what it says in the memo.
Okay, we have a motion on the floor. What is, yes, Councilman Hollins.
I support Councilman Street's suggestion. We've talked about this before. I agree with it for reasons I stated before. I won't repeat myself. It's been several years now. However, I would not think it wise to deplete the contingency fund. I guess we're a quarter into the new year. So I think that we've spent, what, half of the contingency or less than half of the contingency? I think that it would be reasonably safe to consider half of the contingency for the purpose of reinstating grants. I don't know where that would put us in terms of how many dollars each council person would have, but I think if we only spend a few thousand dollars in the first quarter and we still have close to $200,000, that would be about $100,000 divided by 13.
I think that's what
we're going into the other meetings.
Point of order, yeah.
I want to try to bring this to some kind of conclusion. Councilman Street, could you revise your motion? Would you consider it? I need a parliamentary advice to
just
reflect
amend
these concerns so we can at least move forward at this time with something that everybody would, I think, be
amend
supportive
the motion.
Of?
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
Contrary to popular opinion, I am a team player, so yes, I will.
Okay, so we're going to restate the motion so that.
To go with the recommendation.
Rex, excuse me, please. Can you
yes.
please withdraw the original
or amend
motion?
It. Or we have to amend it.
Okay, he's withdrawing the original. Okay, we're going to restate the motion to say that, well, I'm going to put a motion forward to say that we are going to encumber from the contingency fund $97,500 to be split equally among members of council for the remainder of the fiscal year. For council grants. Do I have a second?
I'm looking to add or amend to the motion.
We have a second?
Correctly.
Okay.
I'm going to need advice here.
We're going to open it for comment? Yes.
I would ask that you amend the motion just to add and to direct council to draft a resolution reflecting such. And for it to go through the normal resolution process for adoption.
Needs a second.
I think I'll second that. If I need to do that, am I screwing this up?
You're
I'll second it.
Now you have to vote okay. on the amended motion, the amendment.
But then does council want to speak or no?
Absolutely
That's,
not.
Okay. Call for the vote.
No.
No, it's just
the amended resolution is before us to have a resolution drafted to reflect this language and go on our agenda for council to be voted on. I had a second for that.
Yeah, second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed?
Opposed.
Okay. The amended resolution passes. We'll go back to the original resolution, correct?
It's the amended. Now it'll be the amended. Now it's the amended resolution.
Now the amended resolution before council.
Motion.
A motion for the amended resolution before council to encumber $97,500 from our contingency to make it available as council grants equally divided among members of council with the amendment that we will draft a formal amendment to be voted on by council on our regular meetings. Do I have a second?
Well, it's already been.
Okay, well, good.
You've amended the main motion.
All opposed?
Opposed. Aye.
Two nays. Let the record reflect two nays.
One nay, one opposed.
Yes, Councilman Wunder.
One not voting.
One not voting, two nays. The rest in affirmative or yes. Thank you. Do I have a motion on table for the meeting? Oh, one second.
Sir, under public comment at the very end. You have
oh, sorry about that. I've got a public comment. Yes, sir.
I was going to
please identify yourself.
Joe Lavelle, FOP Lodge 5. The discussion with the PAL got me to thinking, and one of my concerns was now that you guys are reinstating your discretionary funds, is what kind of message
are you sending between this and what the administration wants to do by renegotiating the PAL contract? I applaud the PAL guys for negotiating a contract that, that saw raises and got them to where they needed to be. I've been negotiating with the county for 6 months. I'm in arbitration, but maybe I'll hire them for next time I do my contract. But, you know, I've got guys, police officers, we're 40 officers down. We're suffering the same economic conditions, and you've reinstated discretionary funds, and now they're negotiating contracts that have increases. The PAL's a great cause. What you're doing with your money, and you guys know me, I come to all the council meetings. I support that. It's just, where are we leaving the employees with the reinstation of all these things? You know, I keep hearing from the administration that we're in a crisis mode, and things like this don't show me crisis, and reinstatement of PAL contracts don't show me crisis. I don't want the employees to have to suffer a crisis when it doesn't seem like there's a crisis everywhere else. That gives me great concern.
I'll attempt. First of all, the PAL centers, we've already had that money in the budget. So it's not an increase. We're not increasing that budget line for PAL. It's already there. It was adopted with the budget. So there is no increase.
Yes, sir.
As a result of what's happening here with council in our grants budget, is a grant that we forgave for more than 4 years. We've sacrificed that to try to help, along with the fact that we've reduced our salaries consistent with most of the Newcastle County employees without coming up with any kind of designer kind of a way to do it. We didn't do it by overtime. We didn't do it by lack of overtime. We didn't do it by grabbing out some special days. We had that directly taken from our salaries. The money that we're talking about for the grants, it's not a benefit to county council members. It's not a benefit to our office, to our staff. It is a benefit to those agencies, those people that are out there that we continue to serve, that we have served before and have not served in that capacity for at least the last 4 years. So we're trying to restate that to about, I guess, one third or one half of what we did before we made the sacrifice that we made. So as it relates to sacrifices being made by county employees, I think this county council has led the way. At one point, we were getting dinners. At one point, we had plants. At one point, we had another. I'm very serious about the plants. But there's been a number of things that we have made to help this county to balance our budget.
And so
this is a very small step of giving back to the community. Mm-hmm. It's not giving back to us. And the PAL Center is a contract that where we actually, when the county went through this whole reduction, we did this to PAL. We didn't have the right to do that.
Yes.
If we had a contract with the Brandywine School District or anyone else for space, we could not have just said unilaterally, we're not going to pay you what we paid you last year. We're just going to reduce our lease agreement with you. We can't do that. So everything we've done there, I believe, was legal and above board. And I also understand that there's still negotiation going on with the people that you represent. But I would not confuse it with what we're trying to do here.
They did it the best way. There's money in the budget that we save $150,000. That's a conservative estimate. Every month we're down, and that's part of the frustration here is, you know, you guys came up with a creative way to address that. You had money in the budget. My problem is I can't. You know, we're suffering on all ends. 40 people short, and I can't get any credit for that kind of stuff.
Okay. Thank you, Council Member Kilpatrick.
Thank you. Not to beat this any more than it is, but we just need to keep in mind that the county has adult and teen programs. We rent space from PAL. Before PAL was there, we rented space from school districts and other buildings. Right. We paid those people for what space we took. If we did not rent the PAL space, the PAL board would be able to rent out that space to somebody else and make money off of it, and probably more money per hour than what we pay PAL to be within their space. This is not a grant. This is not a bailout. This is not a handout. We have a business arrangement with an organization. We rent space from them.
Councilman Hollins,
I will be very brief. PAL is not subordinate to Newcastle County government. I mean, so many people seem that somehow Newcastle County government controls PAL. That is not the relationship at all.
Okay, very good point. With that, any public comment beyond what we've heard so far? Is there a motion from the table for the meeting end?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those against? Thank you.
You oppose it? No. Smash it.
Meeting's adjourned.
Any more comments about the plan?
Shortly, discretion of the chair.
Just so you know, I